Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We got a game 7 tonight, Tony. Win or go home.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I've always been more of a go-home kind of guy. I'm in my attic. I'm in my
home
the time.
You don't have to go far. It's just stay home. Win or stay home for you.
I'm going to stay home for me. That's what I do all the time. I stay home, and I look at this iPad. Not a camera, not a prompter, an iPad. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Game 7 between the Nuggets and Clippers, the Padres are running down the Dodgers, and the Titans make a kick. Hooray! But we begin today with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their returning quarterback, 38-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger missed almost all of last year with an elbow injury and came back to throw 3 touchdown passes and take off on an electrifying, albeit lumbering, first down run that surprised, everyone in the world. Wilbon, did Roethlisberger's triumphant return convince you that the Steelers are among the AFC's best?
I don't know. It's too early to get into where people are in a conference or even a division at this point. What it did was, first of all, you said lumbering. I thought in real time Roethlisberger looked pretty good. I mean, he did not look like he needed
to
have
lumbering guy,
both hips and both knees replaced while he was making that run. I thought he looked pretty good. Look, if you have a quarterback who knows how to win big games, and Ben Roethlisberger, having won 2 Super Bowls, knows that. If you got a quarterback and a defense, you got something. You got something in any conference, any division, at any time. You got something. Now, how long you can sustain that is what we'll be looking to see from week 2 going forward, Tony. But the defense is there. The defense the Steelers had last year, they didn't have a quarterback. And so even though they were in position to make the playoffs, make some noise, they couldn't. They didn't have their Hall of Fame quarterback. Now they do, and that defense is intact. And a running game with a backup running back can be productive.
Snell,
I like the Steelers' position after week 1.
Can I ask an obvious question here?
What?
Was the head coach of the Giants even watching this game as it was going on? Because they were killing Saquon Barkley. Let me get my numbers right here.
How about his numbers? Wow.
15 rushes for 6 yards, Mike. That's what we call Barry Sanders land. The Steelers hit him before he got to the line of scrimmage 11 different times. And you keep handing him the ball? That just means you're not paying attention. I found that incredible.
Tone, you know what? It reminds me of that clip from Lawrence Taylor. And, of course, Lawrence Taylor was playing for the Giants. And it was against the Redskins or Giants or 49ers, whoever it was. And Lawrence Taylor looked at somebody as he helped him off the ground, a running back, and he says, son, y'all got to do better than this. I thought of that last night because somebody should have said, LT should have been in the headset of the Giants coaches saying, son, y'all got to do better than this. Oh,
look,
my goodness.
Saquon Barkley is a terrific back, so
yes,
swing him a pass and give him some freedom. To your point about the quarterback, we'll argue Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame, but for a different day. But I will say this. He is much, much better than Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Of course.
They allowed the 5th least points in the league last year. So if Ben can get them 21 a game, look, Mike, I want to see them play Baltimore. I want to see that.
Yes, well, we're going to see that a couple of times, Tom. We will.
And by the way, what was great about Roethlisberger is when he finally got down, he immediately called time. Which the Denver coach did not do last night.
We'll get to that.
Go ahead.
The Titans slipped by those Broncos in the late game. Steven Gostkowski won it with a chip shot with 17 seconds left after missing 3 field goals. That's positively Bears-like. And an extra point earlier in the game. Broncos head coach, your boy Vic Fangio, is getting lit up for not using 2 timeouts down the stretch. Tone, what's the word for how Tennessee should feel about its win over the Broncos?
The word is grateful, because the coach of Denver handed them that game, and grateful because Steven Gostkowski, who's eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame, finally put a kick through the uprights and not wide. Look, they should fire Fangio today because they should have fired Fangio yesterday. You've got to call time in that situation. You've got to assume that Gostkowski's finally going to kick a field goal. Just like in golf, you assume the guy's going to make the putt, and you're going to have to make the putt. You end up giving this guy a 25-yard shot, which he makes, and then you don't have any time. You can't do anything. When Derrick Henry was down, again, let me get the right numbers here, with 127 to go on the Denver 16, you called time right there.
Well, I was thinking that.
And Fangio admitted
there was
that today,
wrong.
But last night he was explaining what a genius he was. No,
he lost the game. He backed up on that
today,
Tony, in subsequent comments, as we would say. It was Lions-like. That was Lions-like watching that last night after that tackle was made on Derrick Henry. You're right about that, Tone. But I'm gonna go a little bit differently on this. And I agree with everything you said about Fangio and what they did in Denver. I agree with all that. But this, look, it seems like the Tennessee Titans are just built for winning these games. And look, winning close games, as the Bears were reminded a day earlier, it depends often on the mistakes of your opponents, but you have to be able to capitalize. And so the Tennessee Titans, who, by the way, the Tennessee Titans, I mean, when they make a field goal, like it seems like once out of every 15 tries. Tony, and it's interesting, you got Gostkowski automatically in the Hall of Fame, but not Ben Roethlisberger. I'm sorry, are the fumes getting to you in the attic? Because Ben Roethlisberger takes the ball every snap. I don't care about that. Ben Roethlisberger's responsible primarily for two.
Gostkowski was riding
with his arms piggyback around Tom Brady.
Let me get to close games for a second. Your boy Fangio has now coached for 1 year and one game. And in that period of time, he has lost the lead four times in the last 30 seconds. So that's how they do in close games. I like Tennessee. I like Vrabel. I like Tannehill.
Yeah.
I like Henry, but they were making 44% of their field goals last year and still got to the AFC Championship. So they bring on Gostkowski, and now they're down to 25%. By the way, I have a question for you. I wrote this down. One guy who's missed four kicks in one game and still won the game. Do you know who that might be? Let me give you a hint. I know.
I was there.
Who?
Come on. Eddie Pinheiro. I mean, what are you talking about?
Cody Parkey, your boy.
Oh, Parkey.
Cody Parkey.
That's right.
Nice
Pinheiro
job.
Came after Parkey, and he probably went doink, doink, too. But let me just go back
nice
to this.
Job.
If you got Gostkowski in the Hall of Fame, above
no, I don't have him
Ben
above.
Roethlisberger,
I don't have him
that's
above.
What we call like Skip Bayless like logic. That's what that is.
Ben Roethlisberger is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Not
but
problem.
You got him ahead of everybody in the world.
No, I don't.
Let's shift
gears. I got him ahead of every kicker. I got him ahead of all kickers. All of them.
Ooh.
All
you're making a mistake.
All the active ones.
Kickers are going to get
except the 47-year-old. That's the only one.
We have
one.
A game seven tonight between the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Clippers. Neither of us saw this coming. The Nuggets, who were down 3-1 to Utah and won, were down 3-1 to the Clippers, too. The Clippers have been the favorites to win the NBA championship all year because of the additions of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Wilbon, what is on the line for the Clippers tonight?
Everything. I mean, everything, Tony. I mean, this season was set up that, look, if the Clippers were to go out and lose to LeBron and the Lakers in the next round, I mean, nobody's going to scream bloody murder over that.
That's right. That's right.
LeBron James and the Lakers. And those two teams looked all season, though the Lakers finished a few games ahead of the Clippers, like equals. And the Clippers, I know you care about this, I don't, have been the betting favorite in Vegas, I believe, from the opening bell of the season back before Halloween. So,
and you picked them to win.
Everything.
You picked them, too. You picked them to win, right?
I picked them to win in October.
That's right.
I have been with them all the way through. Tony, even at 3-2, I wasn't ready to say, I'm going to change my mind. But, Tony, the Lakers look better than the Clippers. I don't know. Nobody knows what's wrong. I mean, if Doc Rivers and the staff, that brilliant staff, knew what was wrong, they'd have gotten it fixed or gone a long way toward it already when you got a couple of Hall of Famers on that team. Yes, they go in even in the case of Kawhi Leonard before Ben Roethlisberger. So everything's at stake. Do you disagree with that?
No, I think what is truly at stake are the reputations of two all-star players, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, because they were brought there for this circumstance, if there was a Game 7, to win a Game 7. And I think if they were to lose this, Kawhi will be okay because he's been the Finals MVP on two
twice.
Different teams. So he'll run away from this. It'll land on Paul George, playoff P. it will confirm that he is a true loser in the way that people look at James Harden in playoffs and say he can't win playoff games. There's a lot of money that was spent on these two guys. Now, I do think they're going to win this game.
Yeah.
But I think you would agree that if they don't win this game, people are going to look and go, what happened here? And they're going to say, Steve Ballmer, what are you spending all this money on? Because they're locked into these guys for years, and they might have to think about trading a Paul George in order to retool the team if they lose this game.
Tony, I would hate to think that look, first of all, Denver's talented, and we're going to look down the road, I believe. Well, down the road, we'll look back. And we'll say, wow,
but Denver
doesn't
have
really
the
good.
The Clippers
not
have
now.
All the star power.
But they have guys who will be stars, Tony, in 3 years. Look,
okay.
Jokic is a star.
Jokic and Murray.
Though not
yeah,
Leonard and George. And Jamal Murray he's become – you don't score – Jamal Murray's on a list with guys named, oh, wait, only one, Jordan. I mean, hey, when you're on a list and it's just you and Michael Jordan, you're in the process of becoming
hard.
A superstar.
Mike,
I agree with you, those other two guys are bigger stars.
The Clippers had a 16-point lead in game four.
And
a 19-point lead in game five and six, whatever the games were. This would be a gag of historic proportions in the NBA.
Yeah,
it would be. Let's take a break. Still to come, the Celtics and Heat start the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Is Boston really the better team?
And are the Dodgers in danger of getting passed by those exciting, pesky, talented, charismatic Padres?
Roethlisberger will get in the Hall of Fame, but you're the biggest cheerleader for him. Somebody's going to stand there and say, let's look at it.
You know what? Then that person ought to be popped upside.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time for toss-up, where I played the role of Steelers defense last night, and Mike plays the role of Saquon Barkley being thrown backwards. What's first?
Toss-up. They start the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Who do you favor, the Heat or the Celtics?
So I favor the Celtics for the same reason I favored them over Toronto. I just think they're a little better team. They've got four guys who can beat you. If Gordon Hayward gets back, they've got five guys who can beat you. I think Jimmy Butler is the best player out there. I respect Miami a lot. They've got a great coach who's won rings. Boston's coach hasn't won rings, but he's good. One thing, Mike, that I would say is Boston defends the three as well as anybody in basketball, and that will hurt Miami. And Miami's got a lot of guys, including Jimmy Butler, in their first year. So they haven't been through this together, and Boston has.
Well, that's part of why I favor Boston, Tony, is that you have to get, you know, I said the other day, NBA protocol is you get crushed as a group. You get your heart broken traditionally in the NBA, overwhelmingly. And not only that, Miami's got young guys. I mean, they got Jimmy Butler, and you've got some veterans. UD has been around since, like, it seems, the 1990s. But they depend, particularly with shooting, with Duncan Robinson and other guys, Tyler Hero, they depend on young guys, and they haven't been through this, Tony. So
That's it.
And by the way, Boston has been crushed like this before. LeBron did it to him
yes.
in game 7 a few years ago. So I can see Miami winning this series. I'm not going to say this is some walkover. This, to me, is another 6 or 7-game series. But, yes, I would favor Boston ever so slightly because of that experience they've had in the postseason.
Too many guys on Miami in their first year in Miami.
Yeah, early on, yeah.
Last one, toss-up. Who'll win the NL West, the Dodgers or the Padres?
So the Padres ran away from the Dodgers late last night. They beat them 7-2. This was Clayton Kershaw's first loss to the Padres since 2013, and they play them 19 times a year. So that's really impossible. It's becoming sort of like a culture war, it seems to me, that the Padres are this brash, young, effervescent team, and the Dodgers, led by their manager, who was upset about a home run and someone yakking at Clayton Kershaw, are the establishment, sort of haughty, sort of conservative team. I'm going to pick the Dodgers because I honestly think they have a better team. But I'll tell you what, I know you want to see the Cubs in this. I'd be happy to see the Dodgers and the Padres in the championship series in the National League.
There are two teams staging a revolution against establishment teams, okay? The Padres, who are unbelievably exciting. I now wind up just clicking over to see what the Padres are doing. They are with Fernando Tatis Jr. and others. They are so exciting, Tony. And, they're staging this against the Dodgers. In the meantime,
right.
Something I know you're not paying attention to because it's not on a 95.
The White Sox. You're going to talk about the White Sox. Go ahead.
The White Sox are doing the same
thing. Everybody drink.
And it's not in their division. They're doing it against the Cubs, who are the establishment team, who, I'm sorry, have won a little more recently than the Dodgers. So you've got the Padres and the White Sox, Tony. They are afterthoughts in their own greater communities, and they are the better teams right now. I am going with the Padres, even though I'm rooting for them. I find them irresistible because I happen to know the owner and another owner of the Dodgers pretty well. But I'm just saying, man, the Padres are irresistible.
The Padres are going for it. They picked up Sunshine
really
Clevenger at the trade deadline. That's it. I win by saying Sunshine. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Nebraska's president accidentally leaks an announcement by the Big Ten. Really?
And could the Brownies really be looking to deal Odell Beckham Jr.? This is so laughable. It's so laughable. Come on,
man. They're playing Thursday night, aren't they? Browns and Bengals in the Battle of Ohio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Ooh, look how big my hands are. Not like Joe Burrow. Let's get happy. Happy 59th birthday, Dan Marino. The circumstance of Dan Marino illustrates the importance of winning a Super Bowl for your legacy. Marino is one of the greatest passers of all time. He's a league MVP, a 9-time Pro Bowler, and a member of the Hall of Fame. Marino is 5th all-time in passing yards, passes completed, and passing touchdowns. But because he never won a Super Bowl and played in only one, losing to Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, as many others did, nobody mentions Marino with the reverence of Brady, Montana, Elway, Peyton Manning. Marino spent his entire career with the Miami Dolphins, who still haven't found anyone to replace him. Maybe Tua will be that guy, but he's a long way from filling Marino's shoes. Like Aaron Rodgers, Marino slipped noticeably in the draft. Coming out of Pitt, there were rumors of questionable behavior, and the Dolphins got Marino at 27. 5 quarterbacks went ahead of him, including 2 Hall of Famers, John Elway at 1, Jim Kelly at 14. The others were Todd Blackledge at 7, Tony Eason at 15, Ken O'Brien at 24. Maybe the best quarterback class ever, huh?
Maybe, Tony. I would just disagree with you in terms of Marino's reputation. It's sterling. I mean, it's 24-karat gold. He didn't win a Super Bowl. And no, I'm not going to put him with Brady and Montana and those guys. But my goodness, I mean, Dan Marino is revered. He should be. He went right into the Hall of Fame. And I, when you say Dan Marino, I think this is one of the all-time greats, and people see him as just that.
Not so happy anniversary to Deshaun Jackson. On this day 12 years ago, as an Eagles rookie, Jackson got behind the Dallas secondary and hauled in a bomb from Donovan McNair for what should have been his first NFL touchdown. But Jackson got too cute with the ball, casually flipped it backwards before he crossed the goal line. The Eagles were given the ball at the one. That play has dogged Jackson's entire career, a player of enormous talent and questionable impact. In 12-plus seasons, Jackson has 600 receptions and 55 receiving touchdowns. He averages 17.4 yards a catch, number one among active players. But in those 12-plus seasons, he has only played all 16 games twice. And since 2014, Jackson has just one 1,000-yard season and has missed 29 of 81 games. He's never been to the Super Bowl, and the record of the teams he has played for is 92, 99, and 2. On a personal note, this happened at a Monday night game when I was in the booth. I was strangely silent as my mouth was agape because I couldn't believe a rookie would hot dog it like that.
Well, I was at that game too in the writer's press box. And I remember just the gasp that went up as he dropped it behind him. Tony, look, I understand the criticisms that you and others may make. We all have our favorites. Deshaun Jackson has been and is one of my favorites. He is entertaining on the football field. You would not deny that. Entertaining.
Would not.
Entertaining. On and off. And I got a soft spot for Deshaun Jackson. I do.
Happy trails to the Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights lost in overtime last night to the Dallas Stars, and in so doing lost the Western Conference Finals Series. Dallas will play for the Stanley Cup for the first time since 2000. A disappointed Vegas forward, Riley Smith, said, quote, "This is probably the best, most skilled team I've played on in my career. To win the Stanley Cup was our one goal. We didn't want anything short of that," unquote. Vegas has been the most successful expansion team in NHL history. They made the playoffs all 3 years of their existence and got to the Stanley Cup final in their first year, losing to Washington. They were aggressive acquiring talent this year and even fired their coach, Gerard Gallant, after a 24-19-6 start and replaced him with Peter DeBerre. Vegas was ahead 2-0 last night, figured to close since they were 36-1-4 this year after being ahead after two periods. After the game, their coach said, quote, "I didn't prepare anything to say because I just didn't think we'd lose."
So what sticks with me out of all that is Riley Smith talking about the quality of the team relative in the context of teams he's been on, which is four other teams, including a Boston team. I'm pretty sure he was with the Bruins when they won the Stanley Cup. So he's got a frame of reference. It's the bar. They set the bar high, man. I give them credit.
Quick to the big finish, Mike.
Let's
President of the University of Nebraska was caught on a hot mic saying a Big Ten football announcement comes tonight. What will they announce?
Tony, I guess that they're going to try to – the science will help them figure out how to have a season. I think most of us are hoping for that. Capitals hire Peter Laviolette as their new head coach. Mr. D.C., is that okay with you?
Yeah, he's won a cup. Mike Francesa says he hears the Browns are looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr. Does that make sense?
Nothing the Browns do makes sense. You know that. Billionaire Steve Cohen, billionaire, has agreed to buy the Mets. Big deal?
Yeah, they need money, and he's a billionaire. Last one, the AL-leading White Sox have won 5 straight. Will they beat the Twins to make it 6?
Man, you would think the Twins need this game, but the White Sox have overtaken them, Tony. Quite a series being played out between those two.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're back on the Deuce again tomorrow. Knuckleheads, you can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
iPad, give me a camera.